As the COVID-19 epidemic roils through South Africa, it's the doctors and nurses who are most exposed. They're the ones on the front line, dealing with sick patients, watching people die, dealing with the lack of protective equipment, wondering how this is all going to end. This is Dr. Suhail Essa.
As the lockdown has been lifted, we have gotten much more busier in the GP practice and in the emergency room. We are reaching winter, so a lot of it is just normal, the common cold. But we are also seeing a rapid rise now, an exponential rise in the number of cases that are testing positive. This weekend, I've been working at Tshepo Themba Hospital, which is in Soweto. It's a private hospital there, and it was really, really bad. I worked at Linmed Casualty yesterday, which is in Benoni, also really, really bad. I mean, and this is in a private hospital where they didn't have an ICU bed for somebody that came in who required ventilation. And there were other private hospitals in the area that also didn't have enough beds available. It was really a dire situation on Sunday. And I had on my shift, for the 12-hour shift that I had, there were three really severe cases. The others were manageable and they sort of improved on oxygen. But we are now seeing, as the numbers pick up, obviously, the more infections we have, the more severe ones we shall also see.
I know you're a doctor and you trained for this kind of thing, but has anything in your training prepared you for what you're seeing?
South African doctors, nurses, healthcare workers are highly skilled because we have to work in the most pressurized system, a pressurized healthcare system, I think, in the world almost. There's very few places where we have to make these types of, life-altering decisions for patients, where we have to choose who gets to live and who dies on a regular basis. This is already what we're doing. So now when we hit to the pandemic and we need to make these decisions, we're used to making them, but it doesn't make it any easier. Medical school didn't prepare me much for this, but my internship and my community service at Charlotte Macaulay Johannesburg Academic Hospital definitely did. It's a norm for us as South African doctors to have to prioritize patients and see who gets operated on, who gets the ICU bed first. We fight, literally, we all clamor around the ICU and discuss with the specialist there on which patient should get the bed that opens itself up and becomes available. This is something that is common to South African doctors. We know this. We've always got a shortage of space when it comes to high care or ICU. So I think my internship and my community service definitely prepared me for this reality that we now hit with. And that being said, I mean, we've always had an issue in South Africa with shortage of beds, shortage of ventilators.
Sure.
And so now this is just exposing that problem revealing it to the world. I don't think any country in the world can truly say they were completely prepared. We are treating something without having a cure. We're treating it and learning about it as we go along. So that's the scariest part. We're literally learning on the job. Our treatment is predominantly experimental. It's from studies that have been done in other countries. Whatever works, we're throwing it at people. Whatever's shown to give some sort of improvement, that's what we're giving.
This is Dr. Boitumelo Makulule, who works in a government hospital.
So, things have changed drastically. You know, initially, before this pandemic, we would see cases where patients come in, for example, complaining of a chest pain, and you would sort of know how to manage, because you would be thinking maybe it's a heart attack, and you would manage in a certain way. But now, with the pandemic, you cannot just say it's a heart attack. You actually need to put COVID-19 as one of your top differential diagnoses. So in terms of that, it's changed how we do medicine now. today I'm on call. You get to work at 8, and then you start in the wards, you do your ward rounds, and then you see the patients that were admitted at night. So now what's new is we swab the suspected patients in our ward. So that means that you get to the ward, you have to organize full PPE, because on an ordinary day, we don't get the full PPE. We just get a gown and the theater caps and the boots, but that's it. So we only put on the full PPE when we swab, which doesn't really make sense, because you've been seen, you saw the patient in casualty, you admitted the patient, you saw the patient in the morning, and then only do you wear the full PPE when you swab. So your risk of being exposed started when the patient walked in to the hospital. We really are exposed, and I had to actually go to a point of getting my own jumpsuit, which can be washed up to 68 times, because I felt like I'm not willing to risk, you know, the being exposed and possibly exposing my family to it. We even had to complain for the cleaners and the people in the kitchen, because they were not getting anything at all. And some of them ended up being infected. We actually had two that passed away. I mean, everyone that walks into the ward should have protection, not just because we are doctors or nurses, but the cleaner as well. I'm usually a very jolly person, but right now things are very hectic. And even in terms of the resources that we have, so we are level 2 hospital. We used to refer our confirmed cases to Charlotte Matlaike Hospital, and it had a COVID unit. But from 3 weeks back, they told us that they are full to capacity. We need to start managing our own patients. So my life has changed completely. Because when I get home, I have to take off everything in the garage, take a shower first, and then only go upstairs and greet everyone. And mentally, it's a lot to deal with, because patients pass away so quickly. So, for example, this morning we had a patient who came in within 15 minutes of me seeing him. We were talking and I could see he was distressed. We gave him oxygen, we gave him some antibiotics, we tried positioning him again, and 15 minutes later he was gasping and he was gone. We are seeing people, you know, dying within 15 minutes. So for me, that's still a bit shocking and traumatizing. Yeah, it's very traumatizing, because, you know, you can't get used to seeing someone die.
What kind of toll is this taking on you?
So, you know, I actually had to make peace with the fact that we might actually expose ourselves and our family members. So, you know, we at home, we are back to level 5. We don't even go out if we don't have to. I've never wanted visitors since this pandemic started. I'm not even going to church, because I'm a Christian, but I said I don't want to expose any of the church members, even though it's 50 people. I don't want to, you know. But it's a real burden, because, I mean, we are human beings, and we were made to fellowship and, you know, meet people and consult. But now we need to go beyond ourselves and just limit contact. And yeah.
Are people taking this seriously?
Honestly, people are really not taking it seriously. On social media, I'm seeing people hanging out, sharing happily, sharing alcohol and all of that. It's actually sad, because I feel like there's a general feeling that young people can survive it. You know, it's fine. They don't care. They can be exposed and they will survive it. But we've seen previously healthy, fit people not make it. There is no cure. There is no vaccine. Yeah, people are really not taking it seriously.
What message would you like most to be heard about this?
If I could, I would just address government and say we are not on top of it. Because they keep saying we have it under control. We don't. We don't. My next message would be to everyone else, please continue practicing good hygiene, wash your hands, sanitize, wear your masks, and only leave your house if you have to. This thing of birthday celebrations or, yeah, these gatherings, because COVID doesn't stop. The moment it sees that there are 49 people, it doesn't, you know, stop.